Good morning, my brothers and my sisters. Whoops, I was looking out the window and the camera was going up here to the wonderful garage doors. Have you ever seen the garage doors here at Churchtown? An ingenious way of creating room, these fold-up walls that they actually roll up. They don't fold up, they roll up into the ceiling. There's two of those, and then there are two wooden garage doors. This was 40s, 50s, at post-World War II, that they created this space. Pretty neat, huh? People, it's really funny because some folks notice them right away. Some folks have been here for 20 years and haven't noticed them. But it's always really cool when somebody starts attending Churchtown. And then, I don't know, a few months or a year later, they, are those garage doors? I'm like, yeah, those are garage doors. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Sandy. Oh, what a beautiful morning. So much to do. So little time. So much time, so little to do. Hey, Churchtonians, it's time. Are you a member of the Churchtown Church of God? Have you been for 1 year? It's time. It's time. Leadership, rollover, turnover. Sounds like a recipe, a leadership turnover. I'm up here at the front of the church now, obviously. We are going to be taking a look at a couple of things today. Because in chapter 13 and chapter 14 of Luke, Jesus speaks about, hello, work. There you go, the Sabbath. He is using the teaching of the Sabbath to speak into the lives of the Pharisees. So I'm going to talk about a couple of different things today, and I just thought, I started thinking about the biblical definition, the biblical concept. Good morning. Of Sabbath rest. Good morning. I am often accused of never taking Sabbath rest. It's not here or nor there. I always am finding something to do. I can't imagine. Like if I sit, if I'm burnt, not burned out, but if I'm tired of doing computer work, you know, like my eyes are bugging out and, or I'm reading and studying and doing, if I sit on my chair for 45 minutes, like and play a game on my phone, I'm like, okay, what do I got to do? I love physical work. I love mental work. I like to be doing something. And that's a good thing for the most part, but it can also be a something that becomes unhealthy as I am workaholic, but I don't think I am, because it's not unhealthy. I don't ignore my, anyway, what is Sabbath rest? You don't need to know all that about me, because in 13 he challenges the Pharisees regarding the Sabbath, and he wants it known to the Pharisees at that time that what he says in Matthew 5 is true. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Right? So where does the concept of spiritual, physical rest end? And the things that naturally have to be accomplished through the course of the day begin. You see, the Pharisees had created all of these rules, like literally forcing people to rest. But they were all out of whack. Okay, so the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So you want to say, okay, here, we're going to take this as a Sabbath day. You can, you can, you can, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can, you can't. That can get really difficult very, very quickly, especially if those rules and regulations around the Sabbath are dare I say, immoral? No healing of human beings on the Sabbath? No spiritual regeneration on the Sabbath, but yet you can save your donkey if he falls into a hole? This is our big reference. I've been pulling that reference out forever. Good morning. So I think about that because I think I shared on Tuesday that as soon as Sunday is over, I take a couple of hours, maybe close my eyes because I need to. My brain is done. And then I open and I go, oh, what about next Sunday? Right? And so on and so forth. So what's rest? Luke 13, Luke 14, you can see the different ways that Jesus challenges the Pharisees regarding the Sabbath and Sabbath rest. Matthew 5, you can hear Jesus' discussion that stems from the Ten Commandments, talking about the idea of what the Sabbath is. And I just want to say one more thing before we pray, and then I want to go to Psalm 92. All right, if you guys want to get to Psalm 92, you can get to Psalm 92. I probably should have done that before I sat down, huh? There it is. Only 300 more days left in the year. Only 300 more days left in the year. It's day 65. Just for your reference and mine. All right. But I want to say one more thing. Because there's now this new, we say, well, we live under the new covenant. Okay. I agree. Sabbath is a biblical idea of rest. So you can take Sabbath rest anytime, anywhere, any place. Right? And so in between my working, if I am sitting on that chair and I am just like, it's just me and him and we're just chilling, like, is that Sabbath rest? And then I get back up and I go do my work again. And I'm on board with that concept, except I've looked at Matthew 5 and what Jesus said, and he definitely puts an article in front of that noun, Sabbath, the Sabbath. And that kind of throws a monkey wrench into the idea that it's anytime, any place for rest, right? I reference this book all of the time, The Way of the Heart by Henry Nouwen. And he says to flee, be silent, and pray always. And part of fleeing is going inside yourself, wherever you are. Even if you're surrounded by people, you always have your spirit united with God's Holy Spirit, and you can always retreat, and you can always find what? Rest there. Agreed. But again, scripture informing scripture and looking at the depth and the breadth of the teaching, and on the seventh day he rested. And then the article that Jesus puts in front of Sabbath and turns it into a noun indicating a day, if we look at the so we got to figure that out, right? And I don't have the exact answer. My rest tends to come just as I described. This afternoon, I'm going to work this morning. Kelly works half a day. This afternoon, I spend with Kelly. We're going to do things and be together, but it is a day of absolute hope, you know, hopefully, don't take that the wrong way, Churchtonians, you know, a few hours away. So, Father, we pray that you would help us figure this all out. I know you love to challenge us in your word. Your word is challenging. It is strengthening. It is the gardening that we need for our souls and spirits as we seek to follow you and your will. In Jesus' name we pray your word will go out, your kingdom will grow, hearts and minds will be changed, and the love of Christ will be seen in this very unlovable world. Amen. You know, one thing, I have to, a confession to make. No, I don't. No, I just, one of my naughty habits is trolling people online, like our governor and stuff like that. Say these things just to get people fired up. Anyway, a psalm to be sung on the Sabbath day. Now we know under the old covenant, there was always a Sabbath day, Saturday, last day of the week. We as Christians have claimed Sunday as the Sabbath day, first day of the week. That's when Jesus was found to be resurrected. He was resurrected from the dead. And on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb. Boom, he was gone. And so we have claimed Sunday as our Sabbath. There are Christian sects of Christianity that still claim Saturday as Sabbath, and others that claim both, because it's kind of like, okay, there's the old covenant, the new covenant, right? And I know people that devoutly go on Saturday evenings and then Sunday afternoons. And so, you know, it's all over the place there, but this song is to be sung on the Sabbath day. Again, we're dealing with nouns here. We're dealing with a space of time, a block of time. And that's what I really want to challenge you to think about. Sabbath, rest. What is your embedded theology regarding the Sabbath? And we've talked about embedded theology before. Everybody, believer, non-believer, anyone who has an embedded theology. Your embedded theology may be that you hate God or any concept of God or any religion. There's your embedded theology. It may be embedded theology that you have acquired through the years of going to church or various different churches. It is your conception, your perception, your understanding of God. And by extension, Trinity, Jesus Christ, those sorts of things. Everybody, whether it's on the far scale of get that out of here, or on the other scale of I have been what I believe a devout Christian my entire life, right? So what is your embedded theology regarding the Sabbath? Good morning. Good luck in states. Right? I'll be wearing my McDevitt sweatshirt. I'll be wearing my McDevitt hoodie so long as it stays cool. And so I want to challenge your thinking on your embedded theology regarding the Sabbath. So this is meant to be read on the Sabbath. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by the 10-stringed harp and the melody of the lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy of what you have done. Lots of celebration, lots of singing, lots of worshiping going on. That's weird. Because I'm a pastor, I work on the Sabbath. Is that work? Like, if this were truly the Christian Sabbath, what am I doing? Why am I not doing it Saturday night or Wednesday night? Why am I violating the Sabbath Sunday morning? And singing and celebrating and praying and worshiping and sharing the word. We're not even talking about all the secular jobs out there and the things that never, you know, and we're not talking about all the secular sports leagues that now have all kinds of competitions on Sunday mornings and Sunday afternoons. I'm supposed to be enforcing a Sabbath, evidently, and I'm working on it. Another challenging thought, right? And again, we can look at how Jesus handles these things and what he teaches. And on Sunday, we're going to be teaching another aspect of the Sabbath from Luke 14. Oh, Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. Your all evildoers will be scattered. I mean, you can hear the second coming in this psalm to be read on the Sabbath, right? Now, this is before the first coming. This is before the first advent of the Christ. And you can hear all evildoers will be vanquished on the day of the second coming, right? And we're going to read on Sunday about the great banquet and the weeping and gnashing of teeth for those who are left outside of the great banquet. So, yeah, it's not coincidence. Scripture is one unified story. But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. But you have made me as strong as a wild ox. Has anybody ever thanked the Lord for that? Gentlemen, ladies, have you ever thanked the Lord that he has made you as strong as a wild ox? Well, obviously, that's sort of hyperbole. That sort of, is it physical strength, spiritual strength? Is it, you know, is this metaphorical? Obviously, you're not as strong as a wild ox. Not that I've ever tried to arm wrestle a wild ox. But I don't think. I have outrun a bull before, no lie, here at church camp, if you remember that day. Oh! You thought I was going to be like, ole, ole, I have to sacrifice my dog and run. No, I would never do that. I would probably jump in front of the bull before I let it get one of my dogs. Is that normal? Okay, back on track. I'm in a goofy mood today. This isn't going to be the best podcast ever if you're trying to follow along just by listening. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." And we're talking again there. You see all that garden imagery, the imagery of plants flourishing in the presence of God. You hear about the evildoers being banished forever, the wicked being cast out, and life and greenery, right, and beauty forever in the presence of the Lord. And you hear that, you can hear that in between time in which we live, right? After the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, we know good, the only good is God within me, and evil, the God of this world, right? The prince of darkness that controls those who are not in the kingdom of God. And then we hear the second coming of Christ, where quite literally those who are invited in, those who are in the book of life, those who have repented and turned and given and followed, and shout, and because scripture teaches it so often, those who have persevered, that's a verb, persevered in their faith until the end, will be saved. And all of the, and a whole list of adulterers and et cetera, et cetera, the wicked, the liars, all that, will be cast out. All of those who are outside of the kingdom of God will not be able to enter at that time. Even though they may see it unfolding in front of them, sorry. Because even before that happens, scripture teaches there will be several opportunities for you to see the truth, know the truth, and turn. And when the final doom, door closes, it's closed. So we're going back here to Sabbath. We're singing on the Sabbath. We're rejoicing on the Sabbath. We're praising on the Sabbath. Your pastors are working on the Sabbath. So what is the Sabbath? I'm going to leave you hanging today. Because my theology of the Sabbath is incomplete. It's both sides of the fence. It is, on the one hand, a day or a time, a specific day or a specific time. Like I said, sometimes Sunday afternoons and Thursday afternoons, specific time, right? Turning off the phone, there we go. I am with my beloved, and we are spiritually, shall we say, or you know, emotionally, whatever, away from the church, not working. Away from her work, not working. Also, I am of the mind that I can find that rest whenever, wherever. Am I taking Sabbath rest when I am thinking and praying and listening to scripture as I'm mowing grass? Am I? I feel peaceful. I love doing it. It is rest for my soul. Do we rest always in the peace of the gospel that brings us salvation and security and comfort? Do we rest always in that? Interesting thought. We know that we have the capability of going within ourselves as our spirit and God's Holy Spirit are intertwined to become one, and we pray. Is that Sabbath rest? Is the answer maybe all of the above? Challenging. Because on the one hand, it is a command. On the other hand, as that command interacts with the world, we have to figure out how to follow that command as it interacts and as we interact in the world. But I do know this, because I have driven myself into the ground more than one time, spiritually, emotionally, physically, as a pastor. Sabbath rest is needed. It's a different kind of rest. Sabbath rest is needed, and I am convinced that several times throughout my pastorate, the good Lord has either allowed me or made me ill to lay me down, to make me stop. Sometimes with something that lasts for a couple, several days, sometimes just a headache that stops me in my tracks and puts me in my room, lights out, heat, resting, praying. So maybe it is not as cut and dried. And as a matter of fact, we know that it isn't, because Jesus indicates that it isn't that cut and dried, regardless of how the Pharisees tried to make it cut and dried. He just throws a monkey wrench into the whole thing and says, well, you kind of forgot one thing about the Sabbath. Like, you're allowed to pull your donkey out of a hole, but you're not allowed to do good. You're not allowed to heal. And what are all these Christians doing going to church on the Sabbath? You should be resting. Are you resting in church? Do you find your Sabbath in church? Do you find peace? More questions than direct answers. And I think that that is what it is meant to be. Exactly. Was it when we hear several times, Barbara, that he's gone off by himself to pray? Now, that's not an entire span of a day or exact, but we hear several times that he went off by himself to pray. Or as he was walking, I talked about mowing grass. He was a wanderer. He and his circle, right? He and his people, his disciples, walking through the beautiful countryside, the desert, whatever the case, walking through, talking, praying, thinking, peaceful, rest inside out, rest from the outside in, all of the above. It is a turning on the lights full of questions. But I think that we are meant to struggle with these questions because it is going to lead us into Sabbath rest. If you never think about it, if you don't concern yourself with it, if you don't ask the questions and seek answers in Scripture and in your life experience, then you're never even going to experience any Sabbath rest. I believe the Lord knows that human beings, well, we're kind of complicated and we're kind of messed up. And this world is always going to be pulling at us and pulling us away from the Lord, pulling us away from church, pulling us away from one another, pulling us away from Sabbath rest. So let's be intentional in discovering that and experiencing that, being intentional in participating. This is weird, it's an oxymoron, participating in rest. I'm going to talk more about this on Sunday. A lot of you are going, what did he just, like, that was 20 minutes of what? 20 minutes of trying to figure things out. Beware, and you can just even read it in this psalm. Beware of the man who thinks he has it all figured out. Run from that dude. Run from that gal. Can you say gal in 2025? Are the police going to come through the door? Run from that person. Because a lot of Scripture, there are few things in Scripture that are cut and dried. Jesus Christ lived. Jesus Christ died as an atonement for our sin. Jesus Christ was buried and by the power of God was bodily resurrected, thus defeating the power of sin and sin itself, thus defeating the power of death and death itself. Boom. There that is. But there's a lot of things in Scripture that keep us digging, keep us reading, keep us thinking, keep us praying, keep us interested, keep us, etc. And I think that's what we're talking about here. Right? Because the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We don't dictate, he does. Okay, what does that look like in our Christian experience? Good stuff, kids. Woo! Got a little deep today, man. My brain is already like, oh, it's Thursday. What are you doing? Thursday, but Sunday's coming, my brothers and my sisters. And I don't know, I know where some of you are, but maybe folks are, I don't know where you are right now, but I know that there is probably a very good local church right now that would love your investment in congregation, that would love your presence physically and spiritually. That would be welcoming and be teaching directly from Scripture. I know there is. You might have to find it. I think they're becoming fewer and farther between. Okay. But they're still there. Father, we know they're still there. We pray that the light of those churches that preach your word and sing to you and proclaim to you, pray to you, you alone. We pray that those churches, they will light up for those who are spiritually seeking. We pray that they will be that light. Somehow, some way, every individual will find their place and find their people, that they may all join together in unity with all eyes on you, all praise to you, Father God. We pray your church on this Sunday will light up the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Kids, go to church. It's important.